Our next guests shouldn't really even be here. By all accounts, really, they should probably just be dead by now. They have one of the deadliest jobs in the world. Andy and Jonathan Hillstrand are crab fishermen in the Bering Strait. And you may have seen them on the Discovery Channel's The Deadliest Catch. The New York Post called that show the one reality show where someone is almost guaranteed to die each season. Now, the Hillstrand brothers have a book out about their adventures called Time Bandit. And Jonathan and Andy join me in the studio now. Thanks for coming in, gentlemen.
Thanks
Glad
for
to be
having
here.
Us here.
It's
We're happy to
awesome.
Have you here. So we want to start out talking about this scene that really the book is anchored around this episode when, Jonathan, you get stranded after the engine of your boat blows up. And based on this particular scene in the book, it sounds like there's this tension between the fear of silence and the fear of sound. Can you
Yeah,
explain that?
it was so calm and it's quiet. It was scary. You know, and I was helpless with no radios, so I'm just floating out and getting flushed out into the Bering Sea, up by the Barren Islands, which Captain Cook deemed as the second worst spot to navigate in the world, and he sailed everywhere, you know.
You
So
might
I just
say,
gave me
why
a
is it too quiet? But we're used to hearing loud sounds all the time. So when
yeah.
you hear the lapping of the hull, it's not like you're in the harbor tied up, just sleeping like a baby.
Yeah.
It's something bad's
It's
coming.
creepy.
And when is there sounds that you hear them and you think, that's it, that is a bad sound. I do not want to hear that sound.
Yeah, you hit a rock or something.
Yeah. There's a scraping sound or
Scraping
just
sound.
you can feel the wind starting to blow. And man, you know something, the
You get
wave's going
hit
to get
by a big
big, and you
wave
start
and
hearing the slapping on the boat instead of just a little lapping on the boat.
I mean, so much of this book, you come away with it thinking, this is truly one of the most dangerous jobs there is. I mean, even down to the element that you spend so much time in, water itself, right?
Yeah, we're not scared of the ocean. We're scared of the water, being in the water. That's what scares us.
If we go in that water for 5 minutes, we're going to die from
Yeah.
How
hypothermia.
cold is that water?
It can be 38 degrees to 34 degrees, and when it gets really cold and it'll freeze over, it's 28 degrees. So,
And if you don't get in your survival suit, you're going to die within 5 minutes.
explain what that survival suit is.
It's like a wetsuit, but it keeps you totally dry. It keeps the water off your body. And the 38-degree water is what takes your life from you. It gives you hypothermia. If your heart drops below 86 degree Fahrenheit, you die. You're not going to come back.
Even though you may feel so isolated at times for long stretches, you are part of a community and you're really dependent on one another when you're out there. Because you can be out there, and if you get in trouble, the only person who's going to come help you is another crab or another
Yeah.
fisherman out there.
It
could be your arch enemy and you'll still save them.
No, you don't ever
It's a
say.
brotherhood.
We're very competitive in fishing, but when it comes to that, you don't even think about it because it could be you in the water.
You illustrate that really well in this particular story about the fishing vessel, the Troika. Would you
Yeah, that
mind
was
recounting
terrible.
that story?
It was a terrible day. He could have got in a survival suit.
This is a
He
crabber.
Yeah, the boat that was trying to rescue him dropped him a couple times, and I said, "Heave ho!" I got mad because we practice this all the time, how to pull a guy out of the water, and we have a guy in a survival suit with a life sling on, and we have our boat ready with our crane ready, and I swooped in just as he drowned, but he took that breath of water into his lungs, and it just cooled him. It got him too cold. We got him to breathe like twice, and he died in the stateroom. We gave him CPR. We're 2.5 hours from the harbor. And we got him in, and they pronounced him dead in the when we got to the harbor. We couldn't even look at each other. We just started walking away from each other. It was just tear, and
Yeah.
then he left a salt stain in the room of the outline of his body, and I locked the door, and we didn't go in there for over a year. We had to rip the carpet out of there. They felt his soul pass, and we had another dead person in that room
Yeah,
also,
that little baby I
a little
took
baby
across. Yeah.
that this.
It's been pretty,
Crib
the
death that
family
we
had a crib death and
transported.
they didn't have anybody to get the
So
kid
we brought him back to
buried, so
town
we
for
put him
him.
on the boat. And
Oh.
so it's
It's a bad
that room
room.
is a bad room.
That's
Yeah, but
so we
we
locked it for a
so
while.
when and then
How does that affect you, that particular episode, when you
that's
saw something
just
that could have been you in
and
a
I
different
live with that,
circumstance?
and
Yeah.
we finally redeemed ourselves a couple years ago when we saved Josh White. He fell off a boat that was next to us, You guys ended up grabbing him right out of the water.
It was absolute pandemonium. We've trained for it so much, we don't even know how we all ended up where we were supposed to be. But I ended up right where I was supposed to be. We had a guy ready to go in the water. We had our crane started up. The guy's begging for his life. He goes, "Don't let me die. Don't let me die. I don't want to die." And I'm going, "You're not going to die." And I'm just freaking out. I feel like I'm like pick up 10 trucks and buses, you know. We grabbed the guy, pulled him on the boat, and then we took him in and started taking all of his clothes off.
And then went down and he started hugging me, and I'm going, "Where's the cameras?" Because I'm bawling like a baby. I don't want the cameras to see me doing it. And I'm looking around, and he's going, "You saved my life.
Mom thanks you. My grandma thanks you. My wife. My girlfriend thanks you."
And then when I watched the footage, I didn't get to see it until it was on TV. And when you guys took his clothes off, I don't know who yelled "get his underwear."
I yelled "get his underwear off," because that'll kill him.
You could see him turn white. He's got color, and when he's taking his clothes off, he turns white and he loses his limbs. Then I cry like a baby.
I want to talk a little bit about what your personal life is like in this certain profession. Not necessarily the easiest job to maintain some kind of work-life balance, it seems.
Yeah, relationships are terrible if you're never home. We used to fish 10 months out of the year. I don't know why he's still married.
I don't know why
I'm still
married.
Yeah, you've been able to do it, right? Yeah, Jonathan, not so much.
I don't.
99.9% of my friends haven't been able to do it. There's not too many captains and guys that fish that are married, truthfully. It just takes its toll because you're gone. And, you know, we worked out through any problems because we could have just as easily been not married.
Yeah, and we're not going to go cheat on them because there's no women. And, I mean, I'd fall in love with a codfish.
Yeah, or a bear.
I go to codfish. So.
And tell me about the importance of anesthetizing yourself with a certain product like Crown Royal. For example.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they go, "How can you keep doing this?" And it's because we drink it away and then you don't remember it. And we have short-term memory loss or long-term memory loss real well.
We forget about the
trip. So we just forget about how bad it was, how bad your arms are aching. You get that little thing and you get your paycheck and you go, "Woohoo." You know, it's something that if you were just to think about it rationally, you'd go, "I'm crazy. There's no way I should be doing this job."
Sailors and pirates have been drinking their rum for hundreds of years. We don't want to sway from that, you know.
I still need to know the big question is why? Why do this?
It's something that we couldn't even think of not doing, first off, and we love to do it. You got the salt air. You know, the salt air is hitting your face. That wakes you up. You got the wind blowing in your face. You've never smelt air so clean in your life, and that just fills your lungs up. And then all of a sudden, you see this pot come up full of crab,
floats.
And you're just it floats on the surface. You're like, "Yeah!" Me and John are hugging each other, high five.
Yeah,
it's like we're kids at Christmas again. Like 6 years
and
old.
And we're like kids at Christmas before the season starts. You just jump.
Got the calendar out. We're counting, just like on Christmas.
And
now
it's like
now
Christmas.
We're on date. It's Christmas Eve. It's ready to go
fishing.
When
you pull your pots, it's like opening presents. It's like a little kid going, "Oh, what do we got in this one?"
Yeah.
Do you guys always go together? Are you ever on separate boats?
We were on separate boats before they changed the way that the fishery was running. So I would run boats
with
King Crab.
But we always fish King Crab together.
Yeah, always fish King Crab. You know, at different times
we've
tried to run different boats because we were always trying to live that dream and make the big bucks and just have fun doing it.
That's what it starts. It's always big bucks. Like our guys made 110 grand in 5.5 months.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good money. When we were young, that's why we started. We were making more money than our school teachers were. When we go back to school, I went, "Why should I even go to school? I'm making 3 times more money than you're making."
We just never
you're
learned how to
me
keep
I need
it,
to
though.
Know how to. Yeah. You're telling me
what
to do.
What he spend it on?
Just anything. Cars, women, you know, the whole thing.
Cars,
you know, the new
car.
House or another horse or just everything that you can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so.
Do you guys, you seem like you guys get along, but do you get along all the time?
We're so different. We grew up together as kids, and so we pretty much were pretty close. But we used to fist fight, and he'd hit me in the headlock. He's my older brother. I learned that you can't hit the windmill all the time. And
he's a pretty big guy.
Yeah, you keep hitting that windmill like Don Quixote, man. It's like I figured it out pretty fast.
Superstitions. You talk a little bit about them in the book. What are the most prevalent superstitions in your line of work?
We knock on wood all the time. We leave on Friday. We started doing a left-hand Swedish spin to wipe all the bad juju off. So once you start doing something, you got to keep doing it.
Can we do a left-hand Swedish spin?
And we will spin. We're Swedish. 360
degrees.
Swedish blood. So we'll spin backwards, counterclockwise, and turn the boat all the way around. People go, "What the hell are they doing?" And Because when we leave on Friday, we do it. Just because you start doing something, you don't want to not do it.
And is that something in Swedish folklore that protects you?
It's just something we do. We'd spin the clock back counterclockwise.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to leave on Friday. It's a huge superstition out there. Yeah. No one leaves on Friday ever.
Why?
I don't know.
We don't know.
We just don't leave
on
Friday.
Nobody knows, Cap Ron.
That's
what
we do.
But you don't want to be the first one to find out.
So now we do it every time we leave port. To go crab fishing, even if it's Tuesday, we do that damn spin.
We're definitely not as superstitious as a lot of guys.
If we don't do that damn spin, then something bad happens. We didn't want to not do the spin. Yeah. This only takes a few minutes to do the damn spin and go fishing. So
my final question, have you heard from fans of the show who have maybe expressed an interest in pursuing this particular line of work?
I've gotten letters upon letters. Like, my husband just needs a chance. He's 54 years old. Yeah. He's a good hard worker.
What do you tell
these
people?
Did you take a life insurance policy?
We want him to come back.
You tell them, like, I guess, and there's websites that tell them, if you really want to be a fisherman, I'm not going to tell you you can't, but you can go up and work in a cannery, and you'll start working in these places where we deliver to. And if you really want it bad enough, if not just be a TV star or be something like this, then we'll see you around year after year. But, you know, you'll get that, and you kind of balance it. Because if you really want it, you'll do it.
Some guy came on the boat and he was showing Andy medals. I just saw that on the Best of Season 3.
Yeah, they were showing me.
I wasn't on the boat when you did that. And he goes, you know what your chances are of being a crab fisherman? And this is a really short guy, about 5'6".
Yeah.
And he goes, you probably have better odds getting in the NBA, the National Basketball.
We're a pretty small group of guys. There's only like 80 skippers and 400 deckhands in the whole country.
Wow.
That do our job.
Yeah. We're a pretty elite group.
I do have to ask you, how do you feel about the TV thing? Has that been fun?
It's been great. It's been fun, but we were always thinking that we were fishing before it was on, and we know it's going to go away sometime, and we'll still be out there fishing.
I probably got 5 or 6 years left, I'm telling you the truth. I'm getting this getting.
Are you getting tired?
I'm just getting tired of getting the living H-E-L-L beat out of me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jonathan and Andy Hillstrand, they are crab fishermen. And they are on the Discovery Channel's The Deadliest Catch. Gentlemen, thank you so much
for
coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's great.
Take care of yourself.
All right.
Thanks.